Well, this sermon has been in the works for several weeks now. I've forgotten it completely, so it'd be new to me as well. Matthew 26, verses 36 through 46. Matthew 26, give your attention now, as this is a reading of God's holy, inspired, and inerrant word. Remember that the Bible is not a book that has the Word of God in it, but it is the Word of God. It is the very breath of God. And as one of my professors used to say, God has no bad breath. Matthew 26, 36. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to the disciples, "Sit here while I go and pray over there." And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee. He began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me." He went a little farther, fell on his face and prayed, saying, "O my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, "What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Again, a second time, he went away and prayed, saying, "O my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me, unless I drink it, your will be done." And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. So he left them, went away again, and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then he came to his disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." Just that far in the reading of the word. Let's go before the throne of grace once again. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have given us your word, which is never changing. Heaven and earth may pass away, but that word remains. And it is by that word, as we read in Romans 10, that faith comes. And so we pray, Father, for the one who speaks and those who hear, that we may honor you in this time of worship, be built up in our faith, encouraged and strengthened to do the work of the living God. We ask you to hear us for Jesus' sake. Amen. Well, the Garden of Gethsemane is one of the more dramatic scenes in the life of Christ. It is right before the tribulation, the trials and the beatings and the cross itself. This is actually the third in a three-part series on watch and pray. In part one and part two of this series, we considered what Jesus said about the future, the unknown to us, and yet the very certain to come. And in these uncertain times, political unrest, COVID questions, racial tensions, hurricanes about to hit places where we have friends, and I don't have family there, but I know people there. No deaths in the military theater for months and months and months, and 13 couple of days ago. What do we do in these uncertain times? Well, what Jesus tells his disciples. They asked about the future. He said, take heed, watch, and pray. Brothers and sisters, this is what we can do when all things around us seem uncertain. They asked him about the temple. That was part one. He said, you see these things? All of these stones will be taken apart. It happened in 70 AD. They asked him about the second coming. Well, that's still coming. But he gave them some indication. What about the here and now? What about tomorrow? When you might face some temptation, some trial. How can you prepare for that crisis? Jesus gives a warning to his disciples. We should pay attention to that warning. When you get a check engine light in your dashboard, it's a pretty foolish thing to ignore that light or to put a piece of tape over the light and just keep going. Now, it is true that some of those warning lights are not as serious as others. I know someone who shall remain nameless that overreacts when the need gas light comes on. Oh no, we're going to run out of gas! Now, if you pay attention to that need gas light, the manufacturers have made it so that you can get to a gas station. You have time to get gas. My car has 15 different warning lights in the dashboard. Oil pressure, airbag, battery, engine coolant, brake light. When some of those come on, you should pay attention. And you would be foolish to ignore them. Jesus gives a warning to his disciples. He gave a warning about 70 AD and the destruction that was coming to the temple. And in Mark 13, he said, take heed. See, I have told you all things beforehand. And those things that Jesus said would happen, happened. His disciples asked him about the end times. And Jesus gave a warning. Mark 13, 33. Take heed and watch, for you do not know when the time is. Christ will come again. And he told them you ought to pay attention to some of those signs. You should be aware that the second coming is coming. Okay, that covers ancient history and the unknown future. But what about the here and now? What about the immediate, pressing, current events, the matters that you are dealing with right now or might have to face tomorrow? In the Garden of Gethsemane, where the Savior pours out his heart in agonizing prayer on the verge of the crucifixion. And yet, for all the drama and emotion that are there, we see that Jesus did not come into this world to display his own power and glory. He had plenty of that. That's not why he came. His coming was not about him. The spotless Lamb of God is still a shepherd of his sheep. And he came into this world to do what? To give his life for the sheep. And here in this garden, his pastoral heart is on display in the warnings that he gives his disciples. We're going to consider this morning the need for this warning and the manner of the warning and the lesson in the warning. There is a need for this warning. In verse 38, Jesus said, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me." The first thing in considering the need is to consider who gives this warning, "Stay here and watch with me." This is the Lord Jesus Christ, the promised Messiah, the coming Savior. He's on the verge of that sacrifice. And he tells them his burden is heavy. And what does he say to them? He says, "Watch with me. The hour had come." The need was great. Who says this? Well, it is their teacher. They've been with him for 3 years. It's the miracle worker. It's the Son of the living God. And what does he ask them? To watch. The fact that he asks ought to be all the need that we have. Brothers and sisters, if you love Christ, if you have the Spirit of God dwelling in you, if you are a follower of Jesus, and he asks you to watch, then you would think that's the most important thing to do. Simply because he asks. So there's a need for the warning because of who gives it. There's also a need for the warning because of because to whom the warning is given. Who is the warning given to? Peter, James, and John. These are the close friends of Jesus. These are the leaders among the apostles. You know who seems to be the moderator of the first presbytery? Not John, not Peter, James. These are the men who saw the transfiguration. These were men who were in the boat when Jesus stood and calmed the seas, when he walked on the water. And Jesus takes these three from what remains of the apostles, the 11, these three, he says, "Come with me." At the most harrowing of moments. And what does he ask them? "Watch and pray with me." And if he asks such men, Peter, James, and John, and then by the import of the ever-living Word of God, he asks you, isn't that need enough? We have that amazing phrase in 41, "Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. For the Spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak. Brothers and sisters, even the best Christians, in the best Christians, there are defects in their spiritual frame. Whoever that person is that you would list as a model Christian has flaws, has defects. Are there not some defects in your obedience? You know there are. Are there not some defects in your worship? How many of you woke up this morning and said, I get to go to church today? Or did you just go, oh, it's 9:30. Guess we got to leave. Time to be there on time. That's for those of us that came to Sunday school, sorry. 10:30 for the rest of you. But see, we think that way. And we say, see, there are defects in our Christian life. Are there not any defects in your prayer life? Is your prayer life perfect? Are you sitting here this morning saying, I don't need this warning? But Jesus says to his closest followers, watch and pray. What a comfort this ought to be to you, dear ones. The Lord knows your frame. He knows that you're weak. He knows that you're inconsistent. And he hasn't banished you. He pleads with you. He encourages you. Weak as you are, watch and pray. Is your faith as warm and as active as you would like it to be? Watch and pray. Have you walked worthy of the name of Jesus Christ? Has your behavior been such in the world that people who don't know you're a Christian, found out you were a Christian, would say, really? I'm surprised by that. There is a need for this warning. Do you suppose that Jesus said, watch with me? Do you suppose that they might have said, okay, we'll do that? We don't have any indication that they responded. When he said, watch with me and pray, I'm going over here, watch with me and pray. We don't have any indication that they said, oh, okay. But do you suppose that they might have said that? I suppose they might have. Sure, Lord. We're going to hold a prayer meeting right now while you're off praying. Brothers and sisters, do you not know in your own life, in your own Christian life, that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked? I'm going to try harder, Lord. How many of us have said that? I'm going to work harder at it this week, Lord. And we struggle. Brothers and sisters, I remind you, if Noah could fail, if David, a man after God's own heart, could fail, if Hezekiah could fail, if Peter, after having been warned, could fail, I remind you that Adam fell when everything was perfect. Adam fell when everything was perfect. Well, everything's not perfect, is it? And we have a need for this warning. But I want you to notice the manner of the warning. Verse 40, he came to his disciples, finds them sleeping. And he said to Peter, "What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour?" Now, there's no way around this. He expresses disappointment. Jesus is disappointed that they couldn't stay awake with him for a time of prayer. I again try to imagine these three men waking up as Jesus comes and says this. I imagine they had a resolve. And all their resolve and all their assurances vanished into sleep. Yes, it's late. I remind you where they've just come from. They've come from the upper room, where the questions about Judas were raised, where there was a foot washing. One of you is going to betray me. And verse 31, all of you will be made to stumble because of me. They've been warned. And still, they should have stayed awake. In fact, the very warning indicates that they could have stayed awake if they had done what? If they had prayed for strength to do so. The weakness of your flesh needs the reprimand of the Lord. Every single one of us in some part of our Christian life. Maybe the Lord's disappointed. But his reprimand was not meant to crush them. He doesn't say to the three, "Get out. How dare you? I'll find me three others." He says to the three of them, "What? You couldn't watch 1 hour with me?" Not to crush them, but to help them. Jesus is facing the most severe trial. The very reason that he came into the world. And what does he do? He prays and he asks his friends to pray with him. I'm afraid that lesser men might have fired these guys. But Jesus rebukes his friends and encourages them to pray. He says, right after he says, "What, could you not?" What does he say in verse 41? "Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation." Were they not on the doorstep of temptation? Things were about, in just a few moments, things were about to get very difficult. And the manner of the warning is to stay awake. And pray. He could have said to Peter again, couldn't he? "Peter, remember what I said about the cock crowing? What ought you to be doing, Peter?" How might he have better conducted himself had he prayed, not sleeping, when he was asked to watch? Paul tells the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians 5, "When should we rejoice? Rejoice always." Verse 17, "How much should we pray? Pray without ceasing." Verse 18, "For what should we be thankful? In everything, give thanks." And this verse ends by reminding you, this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks. Brothers and sisters, prayer is the best remedy for temptation. Prayer is the best preparation for temptation. I don't know about the rest of you. I know many Christians. I've talked to many ministers who would give this testimony. The most victorious times of my Christian walk are times when there's a temptation and I insisted to myself, if you will, on praying. Spending time in prayer. Those are the most successful times. Have there been unsuccessful times? I'm ashamed to say. There are times, instead of taking the armor of God and putting it on, I feel like it's in a closet and I've got my hand on the closet door saying, I'll take care of this, Lord. I'll do this by myself. You think there's any success in that? No. And Jesus leaves them and prays a second time, verses 42 through 44. And he comes back and finds them asleep again. And now, I don't want to become a typological preacher or try to impose on a text something that's not there, but I find it absolutely amazing. He says nothing. I find that amazing. He says nothing. So he left them, verse 44, and went away again. All alone, Jesus must pray. No help from the 11 disciples, no help from the three special friends in the greatest hour of his need. Jesus is, except for the angels that come to minister to him, the presence of his Father, Jesus is alone. What? Could you not watch with me? Again, does your prayer life need any attention? Could you be on the doorstep of a temptation and a trial? You could be. And the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And the Lord doesn't disown us because of it. He encourages us. Comes back in verse 45. Are you still sleeping and resting? Behold, the hour is at hand. The soul of Jesus was sorrowful. What do we find him doing? Praying. Brothers and sisters, all true Christians ought to do no less. Remember in Job chapter 5, Job says, a man is born to trouble and the sparks fly upward. You cannot avoid it. Trouble's coming if it hasn't come. It's coming. Now, you're visiting with us for the first time. I hope you're not thinking, boy, he's a downer. I gotta find another church that's more positive. But brothers and sisters, your trial is coming in your body. You're not getting younger. It's wonderful to have babies that we know are going to get older. But there are several of us that are going, okay, I'm old enough. Not quite. Trials are coming in your mind. You're going to struggle. Coming in your family. People are going to grow up and move away. And Leah, I was thinking about Rebecca this other week. I thought, you guys see her pretty regularly, I hope? No? Yes? Yeah, good. But your family grows up. Your friends come and go. These are all doors through which trials come to you. And then you wake up and there are people hanging onto airplanes trying to get out of a country. And presidents that don't inspire confidence. Military people that we know that are suffering, dying. There are 13 Gold Star families for the first time in months and months and months. These trials are coming. And the holiest Christian will not be exempt. The hour is at hand. What are you doing to prepare for the trials that are coming, even though you don't know what they are? Watch and pray. In the midst of a severe trial, what does Job do? Chapter 1, verse 21. He fell on the ground and worshiped. The enemy is at the gate. Literally, for Hezekiah. And what does he do? Hezekiah went up to the house of the Lord and he spread the letter from the enemy before the Lord. He prayed. On the doorstep of tribulation, brothers and sisters, who's the first person you must turn to for help? Turn to your God, your Father in heaven. Take your sorrows to Him. Take your doubts to Him. Take your fears to Him. And then just like the Lord Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, what should be your prayer? The prayer that never fails. Thy will be done. Faith will leave it in the hands of the Lord. Brothers and sisters, ancient history has come and gone. 70 AD was a long time ago. That temple was destroyed. Stone upon stone, just like Jesus said. The second coming is still to come. And there are signs of that coming, but it's still coming. And here and now, there's something we can do. We can watch and pray, even though the spirit is willing and the flesh is weak. I guarantee you, if you say in your own resolve, oh, I'm going to get up tomorrow morning and pray. I'm going to make a real effort to pray tomorrow morning before I go to work. You know what will happen when you wake up tomorrow morning? The cat will have thrown up right where you were going to pray. And the toast will burn. And the coffee will be bitter. Then the phone will ring and then you'll check your Facebook. Unless you watch and pray. Warning! Check engine light! This is one you should pay attention to. Because your flesh is weak. And because your flesh is weak, all the more should you watch and pray. Brothers and sisters, there is a need for this warning. We should be living like we're living in enemy territory. Because we are. watch and pray. Jesus gives the warning. He's not disowning us because we've been inconsistent. He's not disowning us because we failed in some regards. Because we've been disobedient on purpose sometimes. No, he says, watch and pray. Brothers and sisters, heed this warning. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we come to the Garden of Gethsemane. We find our Lord sweating great drops of blood for what he was about to carry out. Yet he asks his closest friends to pray, to watch. Oh Lord, may we take this warning seriously. Our prayer life could use some attention. Our adoration and thanksgiving could use some attention. Our confession of sin could use some attention. We certainly have enough to be interceding and supplicating about. And so, Father, help us to be more like Christ in praying, even on the doorstep of tribulation. Father, increase our faith, what little faith we have. Help us to remember that we can move mountains with a mustard seed of real faith. Oh Lord, give us real faith. We ask it for Jesus' sake.